Gishilamiang, Mil Ongundawakan, Mili Ongundawakan, Wuli Nepali, Wuli Nipalinan, Wanishi Gishilamiang. Water is life. Good morning. I want to begin by paying my respects to the original nations on whose territory this building now stands. I want to acknowledge the ancestors who have loved the land through ceremonial conduct and prayers. And I want to acknowledge the original free and independent existence of our nations and peoples extending back to the beginning of time through our oral histories and our oral traditions. Yes. Yesterday, I listened with interest to the plenary session on climate change. It occurred to me that working on climate change without working on paradigm change would be a grave mistake. We need a mental and behavioral shift away from the prevailing paradigm of domination and dehumanization, the symptoms of which are everywhere on planet Earth, our mother. More than five centuries ago, various popes in Rome, on behalf of Christendom, unleashed the paradigm I'm talking about. It may surprise you to learn that the empire domination model of Christianity was woven by jurists into the laws and policies of the United States and into the laws and policies of other countries such as Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. That hidden code of Christian empire has worked for more than five centuries toward the dissolution of our original nations and peoples here on Great Turtle Island and Abya Ayala to the south. The idea patterns of domination and so-called Christian discovery have been incorporated into U.S. federal Indian law, where they remain to this day. Those ideas are traced to Vatican documents of the 15th century and to royal charters of England, which declared the right of Christian people to discover the lands of heathens and infidels and to assume a right of domination or subjugation against the nations and peoples of those places. In 1823, Chief Justice John Marshall, on behalf of the United States Supreme Court, wrote that doctrine into U.S. case law, where it remains to this day. We can trace the pattern back to 1452 and the bull Dum Diversus, issued by Pope Nicholas V to King Alfonso of Portugal. It instructed the king to go to the western coast of Africa and to non-Christian lands everywhere, and to invade, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens, pagans, and other enemies of Christ, to reduce their persons to perpetual slavery, and to take away all their possessions and property. That was repeated in 1493, shortly after Cristobal Colon sailed across the ocean to what is now called the Caribbean and claimed possession of our original lands on behalf of the Spanish crown. Our documentary movie, The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code, based on my book, Pagans in the Promised Land, reveals and focuses on this pattern that I'm talking about today. It is a focus we began more than 20 years ago. In 1992, my friend and colleague, my mentor, Virgil Kilstraight, a traditional headman and spiritual leader of the Oglala Lakota Nation, one of the spiritual leaders, he and I founded the Indigenous Law Institute and began our campaign against this pattern. In 1993, we attended the Parliament of the World's Religions, and Virgil spoke on the seven laws of the Ochete Shikowan, the sacred laws, compassion and respect, to share and to care and to give, bravery and courage, patience and fortitude, humility and humbleness, seeking wisdom and seeking understanding. And we also began to reveal to the world the pattern of which I'm speaking about today. That was during the time of Pope John Paul II. We called on him to formally revoke the Intercessory Papal Bull of 1493 and our campaign against the paradigm of domination and dehumanization continues today under the papacy of, or at the time of the papacy of Pope Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I had more time to go into detail. Given my time constraint, I will leave you with this. In 1954, the U.S. Justice Department delivered a legal brief to the U.S. Supreme Court in the case Tihitan Indians versus the United States. And the main argument of the Justice Department was that the Tihitan people in Alaska did not deserve monetary compensation for a taking of their timber because, quote, the Christian nations of Europe had discovered the lands of heathens and infidels. And the U.S. Supreme Court in 1955 upheld that, the same year I was born, and cited to Henry Wheaton's Elements of International Law, which referenced all the things I'm talking about. And among the other things that Wheaton said was this: the heathen nations of the other quarters of the globe were the lawful spoil and prey of their civilized conquerors. This was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court as recently as 2005 in the case City of Sherrill versus Oneida Indian Nation of New York. I want to conclude by saying that it is time for Christians and the churches that are doing so to stop lying about our ceremonies. They need to stop telling our young people and others that our ceremonies are satanic or the work of the devil. This is killing many of our young people who, deprived of their cultural and spiritual identity in the wake of the domination of the residential and boarding schools, are ending their lives prematurely. Additionally, the governments and the churches need to start putting as much time, effort, and energy into assisting with the revitalization of our languages, cultures, and spiritual traditions and our sacred places as they put into attempting to destroy them to begin with. Our original nations don't need reconciliation, we need decolonization. We and the planet need healing from the trauma brought on by chronic and ongoing domination. Thank you to all the Christians and Christian churches who have supported us in our efforts. We express our deep appreciation. We invite you to join us on the sacred path in honor of the first principle of original nations. Respect the earth as our mother and have a sacred regard for all living things. End the domination, all our relations, Wanishi.